Okay, since this show had machine gun boobs, does that mean that I get to have a shotgun cock?
Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 5-Point Podcast.
Wait a minute. Wait, who are you?
No one.
Bobcat!
Hey, he said he was no one. You know, same guy who took out the Cyclops' eye.
That was nobody!
Same difference.
No, it isn't! Nobody! No one! Different words!
Nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Anyway.
I'm going to kill you.
Jake here is the winner of our 10,000 viewer contest, which we had last month and then was promptly ignored by everyone.
I was number 10,080.
And so he got to pick the review topic and he got the guest star.
Wait, we have what review? Views?
View? Well, Jake, why don't you do the honor and say what show... Tell us a little bit about the show you picked, and why.
This is 0091.
Not Cyborg 0091, Bobcat.
I don't know what Cyborg 009 is.
I will school you on it later.
Alright. So why'd you pick this one?
Continue!
It had an interesting art style, and it was had episodes that were available in English for you two to watch, and I figured after some of the Black Series stuff... That one might be important.
Yeah, some of those were kind of hard to find. Stupid Jenny on going out of business.
Black Scorpion.
Also, yes, that. All right, so rather than explaining what we do, let's just jump into it and do it. First point.
What we do is review animes.
Well, yes, first three episodes of an anime. And we talk about it with five distinct points.
I thought you said you weren't going to explain.
Well, now you're kind of forcing me to
what?
Explain. Now you're kind of forcing me to explain.
Nope.
Wow, Burke, your contrariness streak just continues unabated.
Thank you.
So, point one, first impressions, where we talk about what we thought going into it, and if we knew anything about it ahead of time. Jake, you're the guest, so you can go first.
I saw the first episode about a year back, but aside from that, my impressions were just, oh, here's something with an art style, and I think it's spy-related. Which is pretty obvious in the first 5 minutes of the show.
Yeah. Unless they pulled a real bait-and-switch. With the backdrop of the Cold War.
A Cold War that lasted 130 years.
Yeah. My first thoughts were, I used to read and watch Cyborg 009, so I was used to the sort of dated art style right away, but I kind of had expectations coming into it from that, which were all pretty much shattered instantly. What are you trying to light on fire, Burke?
Is it my turn yet?
Yes.
My first impressions are a story. Namely, a story of lies and betrayal. So many times was this mentioned to me by our esteemed friend, Bobcat. Cyborg 0091, he said. Cyborg 0091, he said. Leading me astray, making me assume it was a reboot or some kind of odd continuation of the classic Cyborg 009 series, of which I am passingly familiar with. Instead, no, no, there were no cyborgs in the title. In the show, that is another story, a story filled with breasts.
Yeah, that is kind of the overwhelming theme of the show. But my apologies, I thought it was a direct continuation until I looked it up, like, an hour ago.
I noticed! I noticed from the first moment I saw it. I looked upon it, and I declared betrayal. And to explain the betrayal, we shall go to point number two.
Story. So...
There are spy ladies!
Boobs.
They have machine guns in their breasts. One of them does, and missiles in the knee, though that only happens once. As does the machine gun breasts, though they are mentioned again.
Although the machine gun breasts are kinda in the title sequence.
Eggs are
but
shot.
But they never get used.
At least not in the first three.
Yeah.
No, they're used in the first episode.
They were?
Yeah.
Mr. Oh, is that how she...
Yeah, that's how she killed him.
Oh, the first guy, okay.
But they never actually showed that.
Oh, they showed the smoke flowing off of them, obscuring...
You heard guns.
Well, yes,
I didn't make the connection.
It can be inferred from the gunfire, twin gunfire, really, from all the bullets, and then from the smoke coming from her, gifts. Wait, would it be inappropriate to call them firearms?
Fire tests?
She ejects the shell casings.
Well, that would explain the junk in her trunk.
Oh. Anyway,
lots of bran is needed.
So that's why she doesn't use them very often. Alright, so it's the fairly distant future. The Cold War is still going on, which is really kind of astounding, because, okay, this was written in the 1960s. This is kind of like Blackjack, where it's a pretty faithful retelling of an old manga, as far as we can tell.
Yeah, though outside of one episode, which we'll get to, it doesn't really feel like an older series.
It's like a lot of older shows where they just seemed to assume that the Cold War would continue way longer than it actually did.
Stalin will live forever!
You know, well, otherwise he doesn't get to play with ray guns.
You know, I would so forgive this series its various flaws if the final boss was 0091 versus Cyborg Stalin.
Also, it's 0091. They are not subtle about the James Bondness.
Okay, the 0091.
It's apparently a Japanese pun.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because in Japan, everything is a pun.
Yeah, I guess 9/1 in Japanese is Kuno Ichi, so it's 00 Ninja.
That's kind of awesome, actually. But 0091 is a secret agent. I'm just going to call her 9, okay. 9 is a part of a group of cyborgs working for the Western powers, and she has various missions against... Well, two of the three missions we've seen were against the Eastern Bloc. One mission
was just kind of watching a bunch of atrocities be committed.
Who's the real monster?
We'll get to that!
It's Man.
Yeah. Man, yes, Man.
Oh, Futurama jokes.
Actually, that got the glasses jokes.
The first one was a Futurama reference.
Okay, then.
Wait, was it Jake?
No, but continue.
You have failed me!
So, it's very episodic. Very, very episodic. Like, the first one, Jake, how did you describe it? Or no, was it you or Burke who had the great description of it?
I said it was like Ocean's 11. He said it was like a James Bond.
That made no sense and starred females instead of James Bond.
And it was a whole team of them.
Yeah, though only one of them did anything, really.
And the other one was shapeshifting all over the place.
Yeah, you had a shapeshifter, one with... I don't know, cybernetic limb with verily weird elbows.
Yeah.
I think another one was like the information person or something.
Yeah, I think so, because she could like see through everyone else's eyes, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. This show doesn't have to explain itself.
Actually, it made perfect sense to me, especially given the later two episodes. Basically, this is the core team. This is the 009 series team. These are the ones that they call in when things are really, really serious. A lot of stuff can go wrong, and just, they need a team. Stakes are high, and it has to be finished.
When you need to win, pull in the people who can't really die.
Yeah. They will do whatever it takes. The other two, one was just the main character world building poorly while watching...
Bad things happen.
Just terrible things, stupid things. The other one was just a hitman. Really?
Yep.
It wasn't a threat to the world. I mean, if he got the right contract. It was just a very personal, very low-key story. You didn't need the other ones.
Right. So, go ahead.
So, it made sense to me, especially in retrospect with the other ones watched, and it makes me feel like there is potential for a lot of range in the stories to come. But this is veering more towards final thoughts, so I shall veer back towards my normal self and sum up the second episode. Psychic Batman Little Girl prevents Joe Kill from actually making her Batman Little Girl until the army later on makes her Batman Little Girl, and she makes a whole bunch of people knock themselves out somehow. Then she makes another dude shoot himself in the head. Then she just sort of runs off.
She has psychic plot armor.
Yeah, and 9 had to watch, and she didn't really do anything aside from watch.
And
Nine
philosophize.
No. No, no, sweetie. That's not philosophy. That's just 8-year-old speaking.
Who's the real monster? I love my mommy!
Hollywood Oscar philosophizing. Moment. That's about as close as they get.
Oh, no, no. That, I've seen many Hollywood movies do way better at philosophizing this issue than this.
This is just...
Okay, that's preaching. Preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was surprised it was the second episode of all things. Usually they saved the preachy episodes for later.
Oh, and it was a Christmas episode.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like there was... Oh, hello, forced symbolism that doesn't work. How are you doing? How are the wife and kids?
How are you? Oh, we also got to see a kid get shot in the back of the head, which instantly made me love this episode. Because clearly, child violence is the best thing to happen to animes. Clearly.
Clearly.
But, I will admit, to go a little bit deeper into the story here, because there's no other real place for it, I felt like the second episode could have been saved, and this is going to sound weird, but I felt like it could have been saved if 9-1 had killed the little girl.
Right, because it would have actually meant that she had a place in the events.
Well, not just that, it would mean that while she does acknowledge that the system is flawed and it's very, very, very broken, she's still a part of the system. She is a tool of the system. And even though she didn't want to kill the little girl, which is why the little girl couldn't affect her, she still had to because that was part of her job. And that would add a lot of weight and a lot of pathos to the main character. It'd give her a lot of drive for future stories. Instead, she just kind of watched as a lot of things happened.
That's a bad thing to do as a story writer, is to make your main character irrelevant to the story.
She just kind of just, huh, those people are beating themselves up. Huh, that man's going to shoot himself in the head. Oh, those people are going to kill those parents who are absolutely innocent, except for the fact that they love their daughter.
They may or may not be psychic, too.
They may or may not be psychic, too. No, I don't think I'm going to do it. Let them all. My little girl who murdered everyone and is a danger to everything and is going to be hunted down for the rest of your life. Try not to freeze to death. Yeah, it's a... There was a real potential for the story in the second episode. But hey, what was the third episode about again?
Third episode. It was a sniper duel. Almost.
Jake, describe it.
There's an assassin targeting our dudes. We need to send one of our dudes to take out the assassin because he's targeting our dudes.
Because he's targeting the dude we're sending to take out the dude.
And then they fight each other, and they're both too good at what they do, so they have to sort of trick each other in order to actually kill someone.
They're both Wolverine, for the record. Best at what they do.
Yeah, it's...
Actually, one of them is Daredevil.
Yeah. Right.
It's a really interesting story because it's the first time I feel like we really get into her head. Nine's head, that is. Because...
She gets frustrated.
Right.
Well, she works that frustration out.
Like, she has to actually fight her frustration instead of just walking over everything or just passively observing. Also, the villain is really interesting and dynamic. His name is Egg. And they keep saying over and over again, "You're hard-boiled."
Oh, they bring it up at the beginning.
It's the title.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hi. And yet Burke somehow missed the pun the first time until like the very end.
I caught it at the very end.
It still took you 20 minutes of seeing it to make the connection.
That's because I'm very used to seeing the word hard-boiled as a term. Do you know how much detective fiction I read?
I guess.
That's a trick question. I don't read any. I watch detective movies. You have failed the question.
Oh, man. All right, so yeah, first three episodes, this is not a plot-centric show. This is an action-centric show that occasionally delves into being a character-centric show.
Pretty much.
Second episode started to fool me that it might have a plot with when they were carting a bunch of psychics to an evil guy's laboratory, but they never followed up on that.
At least not yet.
I don't know if they ever will.
This seems like the kind of show to just completely forget that detail.
They might bring it up. They might. Actually, I have a lot of hope that they will, if only because of who the writer is, but we'll get to that part!
Right. So let's move on to point three, characters.
Characters! Should we start with the most important character? Breasts?
Yes. You know, with breasts, I really feel like you were phoning it in on this series. I mean, you were in every scene, but...
You only jiggled, like, once when it was actually appropriate for mild jiggling. Well,
and that was all in the first episode that I actually sort of noticed.
Yeah. You jiggled, like, once. You never were fully exposed, sort of. You shoot people dead.
Yeah, breasts, this is not going to look good on your curriculum vitae.
Yeah, you're supposed to just be bouncy, mindless things that are harmless and pure male fantasy.
Breasts, a lot of actresses try to go into the serious stuff. You just don't have the chops for it, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can't go to the moe animes.
Okay, now that weirdness aside.
Can we go to the trunks now?
No. From now on, only composite characters, not the individual
parts.
Okay,
so the knee, then.
Nine herself.
She's not as round a character as her breasts, but...
She actually starts developing a character in the third episode.
Seriously, nothing? I hate you both.
I figured we were done with the puns.
No!
She's competent.
Yes.
In fact, she's downright ruthless.
Honestly, here's the thing. We're going to cover this more later on, but it's very easy to just glance at this show and say that it's ungodly sexist. And while I'm sure a lot of it is just for male titillation, frankly, she's pretty much just female James Bond.
She's basically doing a femme fatale thing.
Yeah, she sleeps around. Yeah, she doesn't really care as much about who she sleeps around with, but...
Neither does James Bond.
Yeah, James Bond would likely sleep for...
She sleeps for Queen and Country.
She's more practical in sleeping with James Bond. James Bond does it for the sex. Both times she had sex with people, it was to accomplish a goal. In the first episode, she was, I don't know, planting a bug on the woman. And in the third episode, she was luring the sniper guy into a duel that he couldn't win.
Spoiler. Okay, she's in the title.
Yeah.
You can pretty much assume she's going to win that one. It's just a question of how.
Yeah, which we didn't spoil. But she's very ruthless. She's very direct. She's very, for the second episode, she's very involved in what's going on.
Yeah, second episode. Nine, your mission is to observe. That's it. Just observe.
I think she has to follow her missions to the letter, which makes me wonder if all the sleeping around is actually detailed in her mission.
Well, considering that her supervisor, who I don't think we should bother talking about in this section because he's barely in the show...
He's skinny Dr. Eggman.
Exactly. He keeps leering at her during the mission briefings. It would not surprise me if he was like, "And sleep with target, be sure to set up webcam."
No. She just has to write down the details like a romance novel afterwards.
Yep.
Except she keeps sleeping with ugly people.
Well, Mr. Egg wasn't bad looking, I guess.
His head looked like an egg, and his nose pointed straight down. His nose was perpendicular to the ground.
You have seen some of the other people in this universe, haven't you?
He was stylized, but he could have been worse. The first lady was worse.
Yeah. She kind of looked like Dr. Evil's assistant, actually. And by first lady, we mean the first target she slept with in the show.
Yeah. One interesting thing about her, she comes off way more as a liberated woman type of character without it being pandering. Because, honestly, it kind of works. If you can just accept the general atmosphere, her character is pretty cool.
Yeah,
plus, her frustration is amusing.
The show is much more pandery than she herself is, if that makes any sense.
A little bit. This is a show that loves its style over its anything else.
Yep.
Which brings us to,
I think the only other character worth mentioning is Egg.
Jake, do you disagree?
Well, the only other continuity character would be the boss.
Yeah, and he's...
No one else actually shows up a second time.
Yeah, and he's a skinny Eggman who has an obvious crush on her.
Yeah, and I think he may be evil because he has evil eyes.
And he's the leader of a spy organization.
I've got it. Eventually, his inability to sleep with Nine will lead him to an eating disorder, and then he'll create other robotic inventions. Curse you, hedgehog!
So the hedgehog in this situation is a metaphor for the beaver. Huh.
Well, everything else is weaponized. Why not that?
Well, those slash fig writers were right on the money. Moving on to Mr. Egg, whose name is actually Mr. Egg, sort of. That's what they call him.
Please, call me Mr. Egg. I'm a professional.
He's OCD as all get out.
It's his style.
He's just a massive pile of neuroses. Well, just to give an example, he refuses to work at night. If you interrupt him during dinner, he will threaten you with a fork.
That he's eating soup.
Yeah. Every night, At about midnight, he likes to listen to music for a bit and then retire. He is just such a creature of habit. He keeps using the same outdated gun. He always uses one bullet for the headshot.
Always a headshot.
Always.
A headshot. Basically, he's high-functioning autistic. And worse, he's blind.
But well, not really blind, because he got an operation.
Right, he was blind. Now he can see with cyborg eyes or some such.
And also, he was wearing sunglasses the entire time, and I couldn't tell. Then when he took them off, his eyes looked exactly the same anyways.
Yeah.
That was the best.
Yeah, he really is, because he sounds kind of lame as we describe him, but the episode actually builds him more than it builds Nine, even though that was the episode that really started building Nine.
She's playing second fiddle to him throughout the episode, yeah, but...
We're sort of supposed to be familiar with her anyway.
Yes. Right.
To my mind, the first two episodes didn't do a lot to tell me about her, so that's where I got most of my info on Nine from.
It told me enough about her. She's very dedicated to her job, she's very driven, all that, you know, stuff.
And here's the weird thing, is that on some level, like, Egg has a code he lives by. He's almost chivalrous in his own way. You don't necessarily get a chance to fight back, but he isn't gonna take you in the middle of the night when you're not awake, or whatnot.
Unless it's the morning.
He took Nine in the middle of the night.
Yeah, but she was coming on to him. Do you see the way she was dressed?
And the way she actually did come on to him.
And then she was undressed.
Though I will admit, he is a braver man than I. He fondled the machine gun boobs while knowing that they are machine gun boobs.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder how he knew they were machine gun boobs.
That means that somebody has seen them fired and lived.
Here's your mission report. Machine gun boobs. Watch out.
Part of the plot was actually that he was possibly being fed information, which
True.
I think he revealed to her. So, there's a mole in the organization!
Right. I think the thing about Egg is that he is used to tell you about Nine. What it tells you is that he has a code, he has lines he won't cross. Nine?
She Psst. Doesn't.
If the mission needs something done, she will do it. Without the slightest hesitation.
And that's how she had her first lesbian affair.
Yes.
I'm not even joking, folks.
She kissed a girl and she liked it.
No!
But she did like it, she said so.
Not that.
I know.
The Katy Perry must die. And on that note...
Point 4. Presentation, which is everything that isn't writing related.
First thing I feel like I should bring up, because it's technically writing related, and thus I must prove Bobcat wrong at every turn, the writer of the story, the original creator of the manga, which was created in 1969. Make your
All own right.
jokes there. Sad sack of sad. Ishimori, I believe his name is.
Yep, Shotaro Ishinomori.
Ishinomori. Okay, his name is Ishinomori.
Spit out his name!
His name was Ishinomori. And he made quite a bit of superheroes and other such things in the manga scene. In fact, he was actually the direct pupil and all that good stuff to the creator of Astro Boy! So he pretty much learned from the best.
Wait, did he create a Kamen Rider?
Yeah! He Whoa. Created Kamen Rider, he created Super Sentai, he created basically half of Japan's entertainment.
Wow, okay then.
This guy has created a lot of stuff. He's created a lot of stuff. And a lot of it is either spy, or cyborg, or robot, or all three combined related.
So 009 is kind of like the culmination of all the things he likes to do.
Two of them. We haven't seen any robots yet. Hush, cat. But yes, he has a running theme of this kind of stuff, and I mostly bring him up because he's kind of worth bringing up. He's done a lot of work, and honestly, we're going to be going over some of his stuff in the future. I'm sure of
it. Right. If we ever to do a theme month just built on a particular creator, it's this guy and Go No Guy that we'd consider.
More than likely, yes.
But anyways, man, this show looks dated. And I don't mean that like in an insulting way. Just
kind of
like, kind of like Blackjack, the character designs are creative and distinct looking, and it makes it much easier to tell the characters apart than the typical thing a lot of mangaka do, where every face is the same, you just have a different hairstyle and outfit. But, man, you would not see anyone doing these character designs today.
And honestly, that's kind of a shame, even though a lot of the characters are a lot rounder than they would be nowadays.
Yeah.
Main 09 included. Not just her boobs, either. I mean her face.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of pointy chins.
Yeah. No anorexia for her.
Honestly, it's a really, really good style. I wish it was used more. It's a lot more understated than, well, Blackjack. Blackjack was... I don't think half the cast were human. And that excludes the half of the cast that wasn't human.
Yeah, there were like a lot of shaved gorillas and such running around, from the looks of things.
And the animation was pretty fluid.
Oh, yeah.
They can do a good fighting scene.
They do seem to take some shortcuts, but it's a sort of shortcut where a lot of the action scenes, you know how it's like, you don't necessarily animate the smooth motion, you animate almost the comic panel, like, after the shot or the explosion, whatever, you have the characters just sort of flying away from it or floating away from it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Where you use still shots more. They were doing a lot of that, but that was really the only flaw I could see in the style.
Even then, it's not much of a flaw. It works. It all works together. It's not glaring. And one nice thing, I guess, despite how fanservice-y the characters are dressed, we touched on this earlier, and how... I can't say it's unrealistic, because I have seen models and women who have been built like these women. Plus, honestly, their curvature may or may not be actually surgically induced.
Yeah, they are kind of cyborgs, and I guess, you know, if you're going to make people cyborgs and improve them in other ways, I guess they figure, may as well upgrade them other ways, too.
Especially since they're supposed to be spies, and therefore sex appeal sort of works in their favor.
When it has to, because one of them can look like anything else.
Yeah.
But, and again, the proportions are realistic. They're actually also kind of healthy, because while she has a slim enough tummy, I could see someone built like, say, you're free to mock me for this, but this is the only woman I can think of at the moment, Kim Kardashian. I could see someone like her pretty much flawlessly matching her build. So this isn't exactly the usual fan service anime super huge boobs that are just done purely for fan service. This does make a little bit of sense. And to briefly actually touch back on what I was originally touching on, there's very little gratuitous jiggling. The only time I can remember it is really when they were on skis. Not skis.
Snowmobiles.
Snowmobiles. And the vibrations of the thing just jiggled. That made sense. Okay, you can have your jiggling.
Yeah, I honestly didn't have as positive an opinion of the character models as you did. It did seem to me like it was much more not as innocent as that, but it's the kind of show it is.
Really, at a certain point, you have to draw a line, and if you're going to complain about how this show has its characters looking, you really need to go look at the James Bond movies and start.
Yeah. Honestly, I bring this up just so that I can complain about stuff say, if we ever get around to doing Oran Host Club. Like, I mentioned the fan service here, partially so that I can complain about the Bishonen-style fan service later.
Bishonen.
Just because I don't want to be hypocritical, you know?
That's one reason why I went on a little tangent there. It's mostly so I don't come off as hypocritical, because
Yep. We've
touched on fan service before. This didn't feel all that needless, though the bath scene, I have to question if that was the best way to introduce a character in this one, too.
Wait a minute, I got it. Ishinomori is equivalent to Cutie Honey.
I think he may have had something like that already. Maybe. But that honestly would work out better in her favor. No offense to Cutie Honey, but at least this woman actually has a reason she's sleeping around in dresses like
buzzing. So, I think that's all. That's all I have to say about the art style. Anyone else have anything to add?
Jake?
In general, I liked the art style generally, mainly because it was different from the usual fare of today, but that may just be because it was the usual fare for that time period.
Right.
That is one sad thing. It is unique, but when you go back, it can be kind of hard to tell them apart, just like it's kind of hard to tell them apart nowadays.
Yep.
Sadly, that's just how really the art scene works, though thankfully we've had such a wide range of time that we can really draw on a lot of styles from across history.
And, you know, with these retro-ish series, I do appreciate that they don't try to update the artwork.
Of which I will always note, because I must always build up the show, Kikaider, or Kikaida, really, fits perfectly.
All right. Other aspects of presentation.
Voice acting.
Voice acting. I had no complaints about the English dub.
Me neither.
Not until the second episode. I think she kind of phoned in her lines near the end. Who were the real monsters here?
Man.
I think because that's just such a cliche kind of topic.
Like, really? We can't paraphrase this at all?
In the second episode.
We only have 12 episodes. Why is this here?
We must stick to the script. It cannot be deviated.
Unless we get Kaiser Neko interested in this show. And I don't think
even
that's likely.
Then,
he's busy.
Even then! But yeah, outside of that delivery being a little flat, usually it's pretty spot on for the characters, I think.
I should note that this is a Funimation dub, and I've never heard a Funimation dub done, you know, since like the 2000s or so. That was bad. The worst I could say is that sometimes I'm like, really? You're using that guy again? But it's kind of like saying, oh gee, how dare that actor feed his family?
I like Mr. How... Egg's voice. Any thoughts, Jake?
Not that I haven't already said.
All right.
Music!
Music, yes. I seem to recall liking the opening theme, but...
The opening theme was kind of 60s.
Oh, yeah. The music is definitely trying for retro, and
the opening
succeeds.
Theme reminded me more of modern-ish kind of rock-style stuff. The ending thing was definitely 60s. It had the saxophone and everything.
Yeah, you're right. The first one was like J-pop.
I swear they stole the last theme straight from a James Bond movie. I don't know why I keep making all these James Bond references. I've never actually seen a James Bond movie.
You what now?
Or Austin Power.
We're gonna have to fix that.
No, we're not.
Hey, you've made me watch Jason. You can watch a little James Bond.
Jason's infinitely shorter and has arguably better actors at times.
Bye, say to you. As a casual James Bond fan. Anyway, I think that this show doesn't necessarily leave you with a lot to say about presentation. You either take it on its face value or you don't, you know?
You either like its style and play along or you don't. It's...
And you say, ew, old.
And don't expect too much plot.
Yeah.
Ew.
Which gets us to point five, final thoughts. Burke, you can go first this week.
No.
Oh, come on, you never go first.
That's a reason for why.
Okay, fine. Jake, you want to go first?
Sure. By and large, I liked it. The second episode obviously got a little obnoxious at the end, but up till then, it wasn't doing too bad. I think if it had gone longer and hadn't gone with the human are bad thing, it could have been a lot more interesting. But all the other episodes were pretty interesting. I think I'd probably stick with it, see whether or not they actually try to put in a plot somewhere down the line.
Yeah, because Cold War paranoia is a good setting for an ongoing plot.
Yep, and they sort of grab and take futuristic-y things as they will.
Right, because, you know, it's very hard to imagine the technology of the future wholesale. Unless you wind up looking at the Jetsons. And in many ways, the Jetsons are more primitive than us now. In other ways, not so much. But, yeah, it's like, you're right, it's like 130 years in the future, and it doesn't look that different.
Yeah, you've got people using bullets, but people also using laser guns. You've got cyborgs, but also people who aren't used to cyborgs, apparently.
Right. So, maybe the Western Bloc has them and the Eastern Bloc just doesn't.
Really what it is it's the 60s idea of the future on a more realistic take.
You can especially see that in the design of the ray guns. They look like the old sci-fi cover books.
And just like the ray gun that What's-His-Name had, I forget which 00 number it was in Cyborg 009, but I definitely recognize the design of 9's ray guns.
Yeah, and it's not just the guns either, or the character designs, though. The clothing is definitely very 60s inspired.
Short skirts. Or short one pieces.
It's also the radios, the fashion in general.
The hairstyles.
The machines, the cars, the shuttlecrafts in some cases. All of it is very much the future, but still 60s. And I don't know if that was taken directly from the manga or if they just did that as a stylistic choice in an update, but either way, it's honestly pretty cool.
My thoughts were is that I have to kind of disagree on the first episode. I kind of like to have a little bit more plot to go with my action. I just kind of got bored with it because, you know, I had no context and wasn't getting into any of the characters. Episode 2, I did not like episode 2. I don't think anyone here liked anything in episode 2, from the sounds of it.
I liked how it started. I didn't like how it ended.
Okay, yeah, it had a good start, like nice and artistic and such, but yeah, and episode 2 had a pointless action scene where she fought military drones. I forgot to mention that because...
Oh, yeah.
It was so unimportant that, like, because it fits in my thing of, the show likes to have action for its own sake, so if you don't mind having action without a plot to back it up, then give this show a shot. And I would say that I would have basically said, do not recommend this show if it wasn't for episode 3, because we like to talk about the episode 3 curse where we have a show that's chugging along just great and then falls on its face in the third episode. This is the reverse for me. This is the show that had fallen on its face and was crawling along crying with a broken nose, and then it hobbled to its feet and started running. Because the duel between Egg and Nine is really awesome. You learn a lot about both characters, and both points of view are interesting. And that's honestly what would make me keep going, is that third episode, because now I get Nine. I get the point of her. I get her personality more. And now that I have a personality to go with, maybe those action scenes that don't seem to have a lot of context in episode because they're trying to do movie-length plots in 20 minutes would seem less jarring. But yeah, I give this a cautious recommend. If you don't like the first episode, skip straight to 3. You will miss nothing, aside from, who's the real monster? Which I still can't believe that anyone could actually write those words directly. It's just amazing. Like, I understand you didn't want to update the look, but you couldn't update the dialogue?
No! And that brings us to me, as it tends to for some reason.
Because you stubbornly insist to go last every time.
That's because I'm last in everyone's hearts.
I'm sure your mother doesn't feel that way.
Ha ha! You're always wrong.
Oh.
Now then! Largely, I agree with Jake, which means he doesn't have to die this time around. In fact, I'm offering him a replacement for Bobcat.
You know, I'm starting to build up an immunity to the whole shotgun thing.
Wait a minute. Jake, can you edit?
Haven't tried. Maybe.
Bobcat, you still have security, I guess.
Huzzah!
Anyways, first episode is just a lot of fun. It builds up the dynamics, and it builds up the higher stakes that the show can dip into. It sets up the world fairly well anyway, so it doesn't mention that there are mutants. And it's a balancing act of setting up the characters, setting up the situation, setting up the world, and setting up the general idea of the plot. And I think it succeeds more than not, especially given its time, because it does it all with a lot of style, and it doesn't really ask a lot in return. The second episode, however, is a different story. It begins well, and really, a lot of it is okay. A lot of it could have worked. They just needed to go further. They really, really needed it to go further. Because if they were going to have the question be asked, and whether they wanted to or not, the question was asked, is society wrong? Because it's not the evil society that's killing the child in this episode. It's her people. It's her army. It's the people she's fighting for. And they're just trying to murder a child because she's different and possibly dangerous. Because they're trying to murder her.
Right, she wasn't dangerous until they killed her parents and put her in a truck.
No. Go ahead, Jake.
Well, she was before that. There was the whole, okay, now we found her, and this is why we know she exists kind of dangerous. It's just sort of, that's her power. Without spoiling, I suppose. She is dangerous because people want to get rid of her.
Yeah.
And that and sort of the whole psychic thing made me think of could have gone in a X-Men kind of territory.
Even then, it could have gone in a very different way. It could have gone with 9-1 questioning herself, questioning her morals, questioning if she would have killed the child, or even if she did kill the child, how she would have taken that.
Right, instead it just chose to... She's an observer.
Instead, she's just supposed to be... I don't know. She's just sort of there. She just watches things happen. The story wouldn't have changed one iota if she just watched security footage of these people.
Yeah.
The general just wouldn't have yelled at her as much. But I have hope that the episode is eventually going to redeem itself later on, because the third episode's amazing, and this episode really felt like a lot of setup. Because it does set up another villain. And if it pays off later on, I'll forgive this episode. Not for the "who are the real monsters here" line. God, that was stilted.
You know, because I think we spent 5 minutes just complaining about that one line over the course of the review.
It was kind of awful. But if it can redeem itself, then good. Because honestly, I do recommend this show. If it wasn't on Hulu and you loved, like, random action movies with a 60s style, I would even say buy it. Because that's pretty much what this is. Hot cyborg women.
What I'll add is that, unlike a lot of shows that I just didn't like personally, the third episode was legitimately enjoyable. A lot of the shows we reviewed where I haven't enjoyed them did not have anything nearly as good as the third episode of this show. If you watch nothing else from this show, watch episode 3.
Sure. Now, if you guys don't mind, I'm gonna go get a cybernetic rooster. Have fun. Jake, lock the doors when you're out.
Will do.
Well, Jake, thanks for being on, and here's to 10,000 more website views.
No one views us!
Then who are we talking to?
Me.
Excellent question.
You are talking to me.
Good night, everybody! Do, 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 do.
Pity yourself!